This is a conversation with Colleen Brown, Elizabeth Zavona, and Jamie Hilder on the occasion of the exhibition Aporia, Notes to a Medium.
Or the prompt for this conversation was to talk about uncertainty and doubt as it fits into our practices. And I think the through line that I imagined, at least to begin this conversation, was to talk about interdisciplinary practice, where I think uncertainty is at the very foundation of my investigations, right? And I know that Elizabeth works across sculpture and works across photography and collage, probably a bunch of other things. And Colleen, sculpture, installation, writing, embroidery. And I just maybe would open it to either of you to talk about the role that uncertainty plays in imagining an interdisciplinary practice.
I don't embroider, and that's because it took me 2 years of trying to embroider, because I thought that the content of the book, for some reason, because I'm supposed to be a visual artist, would be embroidery. I have no recollection of why I would have landed there. My mother did not embroider. The work is about my mother. I think she probably would have hated embroidery as well. But the reason I ended up writing was because I was writing to try and solve the problem of embroidery and figure out how I could embroider more. And eventually, slowly, gave up. But I was pretty certain, I think, through the whole thing that I hated embroidery. So there was no uncertainty there.
The book that you just published is the first time you've published a complete piece of writing. Were you writing before? Or was it more diaristic journal entry type things for yourself?
I really lucked out. So I was writing, I write a lot. I bet you do write a lot.
Sporadically.
As a problem-solving tool, right?
Totally.
So it's just another thing that you do in your sketchbook. So that's how I was writing. And then I don't know why I would have ever done this either, but I took this and to Michael Turner and I said, what do I do with this? Because I still wanted to, and I thought his answer would be, well, I'll give you the correct embroidery pattern. and he said, great, I can't wait to see more of your writing. Thank goodness.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't see myself as an expert in like collage, for example, but I'm really good at it, and I know that. But I wouldn't profess to be an expert or mm-hmm. anything. That's out of all the areas that I work in, I think I can own collage as a medium. Like I think I understand it. But everything else, I feel like I'm fumbling towards something while I'm doing it. So things will change. The plan I started with may alter, and I'm good with that.
Your comfort with collage, like when, so I don't produce collages as a finished thing, but it's a way of working on ideas, and I like it because things aren't glued down, so you can move them around. Do you think that was part of what attracted you to that medium first?
So when I first started out making collage, I used to deliberate over where things should go and then glue them down eventually and make a finished piece. Now I work very differently, and I don't glue anything down. I just spot tape things, so they can always be moved. I mean, there's a point when something is finished. But anyway, to your point, could things be, because things were being moved around, they were in flux, is that an attractive quality? And I think it has grown into that for sure, but that's maybe what I've learned from that process, is that things can be very loose and open, and I enjoy that. But then in order to create a finished piece, I'm scanning and enlarging so that I am fixing something in its final state.
Well, I mean, also, we've got this kind of like interdisciplinary frame where It's like kind of like a permanent dilettantism where everything is kind of new and exciting and you fumble your way through things. Like I have made video for 15 years, maybe longer than that. But last week I had a friend come over and reteach me video editing software because it goes away as soon as the project's over, and then I have to kind of consistently come back to it. Yeah. But I was also thinking about this, like, this positioning of ourselves as, you know, consistent or constant learners within an interdisciplinary practice, but potentially that ignores a certain type of mastery that we've, and mastery is a horrible word, I don't want to be anywhere near it, but competence. Let's say we become competent in our middle age, and that we've aged into it by just doing it for years and years, right? Like, are you confident enough in an art practice that you would consider yourself, like, mid-career, all of a sudden we became mid-career without really knowing how it happened?
Doing something long enough through practice, you get good at it, and or you toss it eventually, right? If you're not competent with it. One should know when they're not gonna pursue something. I mean, I think there's a drive to continue that is internal, and that's the only reason why people write or make music or make art or whatever, like whatever it is that they pursue, there's something inside that's driving you to do so, because otherwise why would you do it?
As far as a mid-career or anything, I think is how you, the another ways that you phrased it, or being an are having expertise, I really feel like I aged into it. Like I was forced into it because of a social situation, and it was because other people needed me either to get out of the way because they needed to have the novice space, or they needed me to get good enough at something so that I could help them. And so it was more of a social position. But from an art point of view, I get way more jam out of doing things that I don't know how to do. Mm-hmm. Like so the writing thing is new, and so I'm more into it, and I'm actually more excited about it. I think that shows probably in the work, and so I need to keep popping around, I think.
Yeah, and I guess my other question would be around that same type of impulse about the, like, following ideas into particular media. Right, because there are ideas, and I think this is an example of how you started with an embroidery project and realized it didn't work and moved into writing, and how there are ideas that demand particular approaches, and sometimes you start an idea one way and you realize it can't be that way, so you pivot into something else. There was something about the mirrors and the relationship to the, like, astrologers, tarot readers, clairvoyance, that is this uncertainty embedded in a scientific framework, particularly like the astrologer, that I find ridiculous and convincing at the same time. To convince you that your horoscope is going to be what is most
useful to you.
Yeah, at the time, and it's open to interpretation, but I still somehow abide by it.
Mm-hmm. I see the mirrors as like, the voyagers are going out, but they're only reflecting back. Like, I don't spend a lot of time imagining what the receiver of that message is. I assume it's us, and I'm going to continue to receive that message. Mm-hmm. And so then when I see those cascade of images of the two mirrors, that's what makes me think of.
We're trapped in our...
Yeah. And an endless reflection back.
I understand. So these moments of uncertainty rooted in mirror technologies and technologies of identification during COVID is what helped me kind of think through the facing mirrors, the two facing mirrors that kind of shoot off into an infinite realm.
Right, and we're living now and increasingly in this AI culture, so it's hard to know the veracity of anything that you see online.
What I've been thinking about in relationship to some of your questions, Jamie, about certainty, I think that I became a sculptor because I had this sense of certainty about objects, and I maybe didn't trust other kinds of things, like social things. So it seemed like undeniably real. But that's suspect as well. It's interesting that I would have landed on that. I don't know that there is any more real, true, like it's real, but does it true? And I find it really interesting when I'm doing research that I, like, you read, I'm reading, trying to become expert, you know, or knowledgeable about something. And then I tend to not be able to start writing about something until I see, unless I can look up historical photographs or advertising photographs related to that. And then I'm like, if I feel like I can read that image, whatever that means, I'll be absolutely confident about what I'm saying.
Maybe that leads into the question that I had about your relationship to like taking the project from a like an imagined visual, the book that you've written, from a, like a proposal for an exhibition into a textual space. And that link between your sculptural impulses and the way that you wrote the text. Because you talk about it in the, like I recognized it at least in the first page, where you talked about like maybe thinking about figuring language or a pile or something that I recognized from your sculptural language. And then I thought about it again this week and the way that it does kind of operate as a pile in the best sense of the word, the way that you use the word, but also a constellation of memories or texts. So I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about the process of writing as it relates to your sculptural practice or your visual art practice.
Generating sequences of words is hard. I can't plan it, so it's not in my control. But the structuring of a text, I enjoy, like what page comes first and what page comes next. And so it is under my control, and I suspect that that's more like sculpture, or at least I understand it more like sculpture. There is the social part, so that things would be fragmented, but coming from different social spaces. And I think that comes from sculpture too, and that that things don't need to be like attached. And I think the structure of the book relates to that because there's not I didn't try and make a through line that forced everything to be together.
But I was wondering, like, if either of you wanted to talk about the humor in your work or the humor that comes out of your work for you or for people that respond to it. Find your work funny. I've chuckled in front of Colleen's sculptures, having no idea why I'm laughing. But they
that's really awesome.
I was like, what's that response? What is that response? And I think some of your collage work also is surprising. Yeah. Surprising and funny.
Yeah, I like it when people get the joke, whatever that might be in the way that I'm working. But I also, it keeps me interested, like as I'm making things, and maybe the resolution to a piece is when I find the humor in it. The title often might finish off the piece. It's part of something that I enjoy doing with the work, but it's very pleasurable when other people get it as well. Do you have that experience or?
Yeah. I mean, I don't check in with people enough. I don't know if they're getting it or not. This is news. I think the reason that you can't, it's so great to not be certain for humor is that it's this doubling, and you have to hold two positions for something to be funny. you know, irony requires like to hold two positions. So you can't be certain because you have to be in those two places at the same time. And that's what's the relief about it, or the like, you're unstable, it's destabilizing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm.